You're listening to the Think Unbroken podcast, and I'm your host, Michael Unbroken. I'm an author, speaker, coach, and advocate for adult survivors of childhood trauma and abuse. In this podcast, you will learn how to transform your trauma into triumph, turn breakdowns into breakthroughs, and go from victim to being the hero of your own story. You can learn more at thinkunbrokenpodcast.com, and of course, check us out on Apple Podcasts and Spotify at Think Unbroken Podcast. Luis Swartz-Walter, welcome to the podcast. How are you, my friend?
Hey, I am so great. And thank you so much for having me, Michael.
Yeah, it's an honor. You know, we got to connect before we sat down to do this recording, and your journey to healing your mind, your body, your soul is such an incredible journey that I was just compelled. I was like, we have to have this conversation. As someone personally who went through a tremendous amount of suffering dealing with an autoimmune disease, who was as sick can be a decade ago, I resonated with your story and your journey to healing so much because, like me, you've done a lot of everything to get to where you are. You've healed your mind, your body, your spirit, your soul. And when I think about this journey, for those listening especially, it's like if you are not in integrity with your health, wealth, and your relationships, life is going to be very hard. And so I'd love to just jump right in and you tell us a little bit about your background. What was childhood like and what kind of led to the illness and the sickness that you dealt with?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think I had a pretty normal childhood. I grew up in the Midwest. Okay. I had one brother. Just like many of us, when we're with our siblings, I always kind of felt like my brother got to do the fun stuff, Michael. Like he got to go work on the cars and he refinished our basement, right? Where maybe the chores that I had to do around my house weren't something that was, you know, I helped clean the house. I helped, you know, dust. And so I would say, but basically a pretty normal childhood. I was outside a lot. I rode my bike a lot. But what happened was I really got sick after my second child was born. So years later, fast forward, I was really sick. I ended up on oxygen for like 3 years and I had two small kids at home and just wanted to be their mom. And the diagnosis, just like, you know, with you, it was like fibromyalgia, MS, chronic fatigue. Doctors didn't really know. And so I was on my own to kind of figure it out. So none of the medical stuff helped me at all. And I ended up with a chiropractor, acupuncturist. I pretty much did everything. And I remember feeling like and just praying at that time and saying, hey, you know what, God, you got to help me here. Because I need to be a mom to my kids. So my first why was just to get healthy, to be their mom. And again, I did everything. I changed my diet. I exercised. I took my supplements. You know, I was doing it all and I was changing my body. And I got like healthier in the body, but I still had this calling, like something wasn't right. Kind of like I still didn't feel like what I call me, like 100% me. And so then I started doing emotional work and I moved my family from Chicago to New Mexico to be in the mountains, to be in cleaner air. Because in the Chicagoland area, I became a pesticide activist. I worked with the mayor to sue the state of Illinois and we won because all the herbicides, the pesticides used on the trees, the herbicides, all the glyphosate, right? I knew about glyphosate before there were lawsuits. You know, I was like warning people because people would call me and say, hey, you know what? Do you think my dog seizures? My dog just passed on my neighbor's lawn. Do you think the dog is affected by those chemicals? So I had 14 articles in the Tribune. I became like a big mouth. I was a teacher, a special ed teacher that ended up just really having to like heal myself. And I ended up on this journey of learning all about, again, all the natural health things, all the chemicals, how to do supplements, how to eat right. You know, just the whole lifestyle piece. And yet there was still something missing. And that was the soul journey.
Mm. You showed me this photo, which we'll put on if you guys are watching on YouTube. You showed me this photo of you at like death's door, right? Yeah. And you showed me that. And I have a similar photo, not as drastic as yours, but I'm laying on this yoga mat. I'm in Portland, Oregon. I had dropped like an unhealthy amount of weight. I was malnourished. I was sick. Mm-hmm. I had been to 30 plus doctors every penny I had trying to figure this out. And I was also in the journey of my personal healing of like working through the trauma and the pain and the hurt. And it was really interesting because when I saw that photo, I just thought to myself, there's got to be something we're missing, right? Because so many people, they are ill, they are sick, our food is poisoning us, our technology is poisoning us, our air is poisoning us. And obviously, and you know this, not everyone can just pack up and move. But when you look at your life and in those moments of what I would call tremendous suffering, like, how did you keep going? Because I know there's so many people who just, they're like, I give up, I quit, I'm done, I can't do this another day.
You know, I kept going because I would look at my kids' little faces, you know? So like Andy was about 18 months old. And honestly, what had happened was my hormones were way wacky and out of balance. My adrenals were shot. All that stuff was off balance. But what kept me going was just, again, my first why was to be their mom, you know? And I was just like, I mean, the first doctor I went to said, how are you walking around on the planet? You are not absorbing any of your food. Your digestive system's a mess. You're not absorbing anything. He was an orthomolecular doctor. And I looked at him and I said, well, my son was born and I have to take care of him. So it's kind of like that poem Footprints, where God's spirit carries you. So I really did. I turned to God. I started praying and saying, hey, God, you're going to get me out of this. And I don't know how yet, but when I'm done with this, I'm going to do something big, something great. You know, I don't know what it is yet. And then I had to get out of that chemical soup of all those pesticides and herbicides and everyone wanting their lawns to look like Soldier Field. The mindset, I just couldn't do it anymore. So I was researching where to go. And that's how I ended up in Taos, New Mexico, in the mountains at 7,000 feet, in the sagebrush, no lawn. It's kind of funny if you think about it. So that's how I ended up there. And I mean, it was like God's cut. It was beautiful. We had double rainbows every afternoon when it rained. I mean, the mountains were beautiful. And it was truly my adobe healing house. We were there for about 7 years. So that's how I healed, was just to really go to spirit, go to the soul.
Yeah. How does one, you know, as you say that, my thought goes to when I was kind of at the lowest in my physical healing journey, just honestly, just being mad at God or universe, the God of my understanding, right? And,
sure.
And feeling like, I cannot believe I'm dealing with this now, right? At that time, I didn't have the words to be like, well, why is life happening for me and not to me? I was just frustrated and upset because all of the childhood things and the teen things, I've been hitting these rock bottoms, trying to actually make my life better and then dealing with illness, dealing with sickness constantly and nonstop. How did you get to, like, was it a reconciliation? Did you have anger? Like, how does one just go to like, God, you got to help me here, bro?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, again, I think it was just looking at my kids' little faces. You know, I just really wanted them to, you know, have the mom that they deserved. But I was angry too. In fact, I was so angry that I would throw glasses across the room to hear them crash. Okay, I happen to like blue glasses. I can drink out of a blue cup. I love this color blue. And all my blue glasses were broken. So when I would get really angry, what I know now, though, and this is going to sound kind of funny maybe, but what I know now is I had entities attached to me. Now, I'm not going to call them demons. They're an entity. They're an energy. There was an energetic attachment. And what I had to do to heal my life and heal myself was try so many different kinds of things, including everything from biofeedback to neurobiofeedback to energy work to Reiki to pranic healing to Donna Eden's work, to all of it. I did it all. And I was on this journey of really feeling like 100% me and healing all of that. But you're right, Michael. I was angry and I would throw glasses across the room. And so was I mad at God or just mad? Maybe both, right? And I think of those as like entities, like energies that are attached to us that could even be ancestral. So what I know now is we hold trauma in the spaces of the brain. Our emotions get trapped there. the trauma gets trapped there. And there's actually a German doctor that did the work on this. His name is Dr. Hamer. And he discovered trauma causes illness. And how he discovered that was at age 17, his son was shot and died. And he got testicular cancer 3 months later. So his hypothesis was, hey, it must have been the trauma of losing my son that caused that for me. So he started working on the trauma. And I'm a brain expert, right? Special ed teacher, dyslexic therapist, lost my own brain power, didn't remember my phone number. I mean, I know the brain physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and I do field work, energy field work with the brain. And so I was so fascinated with Dr. Hamer's work because he took SPECT scans of persons of his own brain first before he started working on his trauma. And what he found was there a lesion, like a little cellular memory bump, a lesion in the brain. And when he cleared the trauma, the lesion went away. I clear those. I figured out how to do it. So that's what we're doing is when we are that sick and we have all that trauma built up like you did with your childhood, we have the spaces in the brain that hold on to that. And until we clear that all the way, it creates like a little pattern, almost like a record player or a tape that keeps playing. And that's what will trigger someone in PTSD. So let's say they get triggered when they have a, you know, because that trauma gets re-triggered until we clear it. But we have to clear it at the brain soul level for it to be complete.
One of the things, I'm taking notes here as we go. I think it's incredibly fascinating. One of the things that I was thinking about as you were talking about this is Dr. Bessel van der Kolk's work. And he obviously wrote The Body Keeps the Score. And there's so much data to support, and I guess further Dr. Hamer's work, about this idea that our body and our brains truly does keep that energy. And what's really interesting, and I know this can sound woo-woo, right? And trust me, I'm the first guy to be like, this, by the way, let's be very clear about this, right? I'm the first guy to go, energy work, get the fuck out of my face. What are you talking about, right? And it's so interesting to me that my willingness to do it anyway has become a big part of my journey, from anything from Reiki to transcendental meditation to hypnosis to energy clearing to, I mean, just regular therapy. Every modality, name a modality of therapy, I've done it. That's not a joke. It's almost impossible. There's almost nothing you could name, right? And what I came to realize was if it's true that our bodies contain DNA, which they say up to 7 generations that you can actually measure from a DNA analysis, then why is it unreasonable that things that happened 7 generations ago to your great, 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 great grandmother couldn't impact you in some capacity? And what's interesting is in this one hand, you have this scientific backed concept, right? Because everyone knows that once the final DNA sequences were completed in the late 90s, we understood the human genome. And the part that probably most people really don't wrap their head around is like, we live in a planet that is just perfect enough conditions to sustain human life in an infinite galaxy spinning around a sun that goes around in circles, keeping us alive, that allows us to sustain life, build and create life. So why in the world would you be, I almost want to say, so selfish as to not believe that there's an energy around us, right?
That's a great point.
And so let's go into this, because I don't want to lose people in this, because you would have lost me by now, right? What is energy? Like, if you were to lay that out and explain it, you talked about these entities being attached to you energetically. Like, what is energy? What is the energy field? What does that actually mean?
Yeah, we have an energy field around us. Like, we're energetic beings. So like Greg Braden says, we're 99% space and 1% matter. So your energy field is just space around you, and it goes all the way out to the stars and the moon. You know, we have these energetic fields that are around us. Now, some people would call it an aura, but it's bigger than that. Okay. And so we are energy. And I work with a woman that helped me understand that you also have an energy around your brain. And that the brain is like an atom with rings around it. And there's capacitor rings, like these rings around the atom are around your head or around your brain. And if they're off, you'll feel off. And she figured out how to tap into math, the universal language that speaks to your energy field, and came up with codes that go 7 generations back and 7 forward. And so when I first learned this work, these codes for success, I came home after a weekend class. My kids were teenagers then. And I went, wow, I came home and everybody's different. What happened while I was gone? And I didn't know that I changed. Took me a while to realize that I had released ancestral fear, like for way back generationally. And that shifted my life and got me healthier than I was even before. And then I started using it and teaching it. And then I developed a whole system, right? So I developed a system that works on the body, mind, spirit, and the energy field. Because what I found is if we're not working in the field, in fact, I show people in my events that pain, the pain in your shoulder, doesn't start here. It starts out here in the field. And if we don't work in the energy field, we're missing the boat. And I show that with kinesiology, with muscle testing. And in 5 minutes, I can take someone's pain away using these codes, using the emotional work, clearing the spaces in the brain where that trauma got stuck.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. I think about some of the experiences that I've had and how sometimes muscle testing is spot on. In fact, I thought it was nonsense. I was in Koh Phangan with my friend Ryan, and we were at his house, and he was like, hey, I want to muscle test you. And I was like, this is stupid. You're going to tell me that you're going to have me hold something and figure out whether or not my body wants it. That's what muscle testing is. You take an object, you take a product, you take a thing, you put it in your hand, and you see whether or not you can hold stationary as somebody tests and see whether or not your body wants to accept it. And I said, and so look, just pure transparency. I am a person who it's like, prove it. Like, I am prove it, right? And so yes. I go, I don't believe you. I'm going to test you testing me. And what I did is I had a t-shirt, I wrapped it around my eye so I was blindfolded, and I had him give me things to hold. Uh-huh. And as he did that, every time he did one and he pushed my arm fell, I would ask him what was in my hand. And one time he was like, oh, that's a piece of bread. And I took the t-shirt off my eyes. I looked down, there's a piece of bread in my hand. I haven't been able to eat gluten in 15 years at this point, right? And then he gave me like an orange and it was fine. And then we tested like some random vitamins that we had, and we did all these different things. And it's like that's so energetic. It's if the body keeps the score, the body also knows the answer.
Absolutely.
I believe that. I would love for you to extrapolate on that a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. So if the body keeps score, you know, the body knows the answer. So what muscle testing really is, it's called kinesiology. A lot of chiropractors use it, you know, coaches, therapists. I got really good at it. I'm like a medical intuitive, but really what's happening is your nervous system is connected to your muscles and your whole body. So when you see somebody who's working with someone using kinesiology and they put their arm out, and they ask them to hold, and they push down gently, and they get a yes and a no, they're calibrating your system, figuring out what your yes is, what your no is, finding out how you're going to respond. And the simplest thing is to respond to a supplement. But I teach people how to tune into the energy field and figure out what are the traumas and when do they start? Age 6, 3, in the womb, great-great-grandmother? I just did 40 generations back on a woman earlier today. We cleared patterns, 40, the generational patterns are coming up big time right now. So I can go into the field and actually muscle test and find out intuitively what's happening for a person, when it all started for them, and clear those traumas so that they don't have to hold those patterns anymore. And then we rewire the brain using these codes. So think of it as taking out, you know, the trash and then putting in how you want to show up, your dream life, how you want to show up in your world. And so it's really a system. It's a five-part system. And again, it came from my own experience. It came from all the things that I learned, just like you, going to all these different healers and people and everything else. And then I put it together and figured out that it spells brain. And B is body. It's the body piece. You can't eat gluten, neither can I. You know, I don't eat dairy either or sugar. You know, it's like knowing your body, right? What are you eating? What supplements are you taking? Sleep, exercise, that's foundational. Then the next piece is release. R is releasing. And that's releasing all the trauma, all the patterns, you know, the emotions that are stuck, whatever's in the way of you living your genius life. And then A is aligned with spirit. So spirit, the divine, God, whatever the person believes in, is always part of healing life, healing business, you know, living your optimal life. And then I is integrate your brain frequencies to your soul's true purpose. So when that's all integrated and someone has a purpose, it's easier for them to heal. Again, whether they're healing their life or they're healing from an autoimmune disease or whatever. And then N is new program. And I think that's missed a lot, honestly. So if we're not rewiring the brain and the energy field and you with your program, then we release some stuff. Great. You might feel lighter, but there's that other piece that we have to do, and that's the rewiring.
And without that, you'll end up right back to where you are. And that's why a big part of what I do in coaching people is we create frameworks, new frameworks, new shifts, new journeys, new opportunities, new plans. And all we're simply doing is we are replacing old ideologies, right? So much of it is replacing old behavioral patterns, replacing the moments that you self-sabotage with the moments that you go, wait a second, I deserve more. And that's so important. I want to go into something a little bit deeper, because we're going to go into and create some frameworks for people to really truly understand like these five steps to reboot, right? But you have this moment, you're in this position of changing your life, you're dealing with this illness, trying to be a mother, trying to heal, going through all this. If someone's in that place right now, someone's sick, maybe they're trying to be a great dad, or they're trying to run a business or find love, or they're dealing with children, or you know, whatever that thing is in their life, but they are dealing with this illness that is just taking and taking and taking. They're doing everything. They're throwing everything at it. They've gone into debt over it. They've lost family and friends over it. It's consumed them, right? Because you know how that is. It consumed my whole life. It consumed your whole life. Mm-hmm. Where do you start?
You really kind of still start with the body, but you got to do it all, you know? So, you know, you can start with journaling to start beginning to heal some of those emotional patterns. The truth will set you free. So like the reason when we say, like, here's a crass example. Okay, if I'm frustrated and I say, oh, shoot, I actually don't feel better. It's the power of the right word. If I say, oh, I actually feel better. The right word, right? So it's the power of the words. So speaking the truth to yourself of how you feel is the first step. And then reframing it, like you mentioned, how do you want to feel? So the question that I always ask when I do goal setting with people is, what do you want to have change or be different?
Yeah.
And
so
then we
important.
Answer that for yourself. You know, we write that out and then we walk that down. I'd even like to do this with you today if we can, and walk down that goal so that you can get to a bottom line. And the bottom line usually has something to do with feeling, you know, authentically you, trusting on a deeper level, having faith on a deeper level, I feel like faith and fear are opposite, and trust and worry are opposite. So I usually show like a pencil or a pen and I say, here's faith at the top and fear at the bottom, and you can't be halfway. So your goal when you're that sick is to figure out how to stay in faith and get out of fear, and how to stay in trust and get out of worry. And it's a different journey for all of us, I would say, because it's going to be taming that self-talk. So when I had seizures and I was banging my head against the couch and the kids would give me a blanket, I never went to the hospital. Okay, I had all my mercury fillings taken out in one day. That's what I crashed from. So I was full of heavy metals. I had to go through sauna programs. I had to detox metals. I couldn't even take certain supplements when I was that sick. And we were $84,000 in credit card debt, two little kids, can't work, husband loses his job. I mean, oh my God, right? You know, so I had to go to faith. I had no other choice. Or at least I felt I didn't have a choice. You know, so that's when, again, I turned to faith and I was just like, okay, this is going to get better. I don't know how, but it sure is. And then I'm going to do something. But I don't know why I have this energy. And you did too, Michael. I'm not sure everyone has this, where we say to ourselves, I'm going to do something great with this later. I don't know what it is yet. I feel like crap right now, but I'm getting through this. I don't know how. And I you know, you feel like you're going to die some days and you almost choose that. But there's a resilience that was in you and in me that made us go forward.
Yeah, there.
That's famous.
I think for me, it's beyond that. And I've shared this publicly, obviously, but anger drove me. Just a tremendous amount of being pissed off, right?
Okay.
Just looking at my life and going, I have had the worst. So why the hell can't I have the best? And that's what it really came down to, right? You talk about looking at what you want versus what you've had. And I just kept looking at it and thinking to myself, all right, so I was homeless as a kid. Mom's a drug addict, alcoholic, cuts off my finger. Stepdad's super abusive, got molested in the church, stole food to survive, sold drugs at 12 years old, started drinking at 13, kicked out of high school. Great. Now what?
Right.
And then a part of the conversation was, so what? Which is like,
oh, that's good.
Which is like a really intense thing to wrap your head around, right? Because you're sitting in this experience and you're looking at it and it is pain and it is suffering and it is hurt and it takes and it makes you, without even recognizing, because it's so subconscious and built into you, into your brain through enmeshment and grooming, now you're self-sabotaging, you're destroying everything you touch. And luckily, I mean, talk about purpose, like the greatest moment of my life is hitting rock bottom at 25 years old. Like the fact that I got a jump start on most people is the reason why I'm here today. But I was on the verge of death. Like I look at my life at 25, 26, being 350 pounds, smoking two packs a day, drinking myself to sleep, $50,000 in debt, a nightmare of a human being. And I was just a step away from either killing myself or someone else. Like that's, I know that had I not made a decision to create change in my life, I would have been dead by the time that I was 28. There's just no way around it. The energy was so heavy. It was so dark. There was so much pain and suffering that I did make that decision. And you talked about the truth will set you free. And for me, it was stop lying. Like that was the thing. The energy that I carried around being a liar was built into necessity, right? Don't tell the cops what happened. Don't tell the teachers what happened. Oh, don't share the things that happened, right? And so one of the things that I started to understand was building into not only the why I wanted something different and better, but the why I was behaving the way I was behaving. And I think when you get to that, that's something you can create an anchor around. Because most people will sit and they will listen to this conversation like, oh yeah, I want to get healthy. I want to heal my life. I want to be better. But they don't ask themselves why their life is so bad to begin with. And while, and I say this all the time, you're not culpable. It's not my responsibility. My childhood's not on me. Irresponsible people who did not do their work, who were hurt and hurt people, created my life. And then at some point, thank God, because of a rock bottom, it really truly became, well, what are you going to do about it? And the so what element of that is not dismissive. It's more of just looking at it and going, okay, you can't change the past.
Exactly.
There's nothing you can do about on this timeline in terms of the literal things that have transpired. You can't do anything about, yes, I can't take back anything I just said. The only thing I have control of is this moment. And when I realized that, it changed my life forever. And that's why almost 14 years later, we're having this conversation. I want to go into that stop lying piece a little bit deeper, in that honesty piece, because you said that was step one. How does someone
I think so. It's getting really present to what you're feeling, right? So getting present to the feelings, because sometimes we're in that physical pain. All we hear and all we see is the pain, right? The pain in your joints, pain in your shoulder, pain in your head, bad headache, whatever it is. That pain is speaking to you. So that pain means something. So it's asking and finding out, where is that and why is that there? And you're right, the word is the why. The why drives us. So really thinking about that why. But see, I believe, and that's because maybe of the work I do, that we can clear the patterns and take the charge. Just like EMDR work, right? You take the charge off the emotion that's being held there. That emotion of shock, panic, trauma. When we release the emotion there, or the charge on it, if you will, in other words, you still experience what you experienced. Absolutely. So did I. You know, it shaped us. It was the best gift I ever had. I would have stayed in Illinois and been 2.1 kids, the puppy dog, and the white picket fence. I would have never moved my family to New Mexico and had all these amazing experiences and started my business. I was going to be a teacher my whole life, right? But I crashed. So that was a gift, for sure. But what I do know is now we can clear the traumas in the spaces of the brain. So years ago, I had a woman who came in for a nutrition appointment and biofeedback. It was a Saturday afternoon. I'll never forget it. She had breast cancer that went into brain cancer. She had 13 brain tumors. And UNM Hospital here zapped them with chemotherapy. Her cousin brought her in that day and said, you know, she didn't even know who she was for 2 months. They zapped her brain. I was surprised how much she could remember. And I did this process called a soul tie box, where I put the bottom line goal in a box and I intuit and draw strings on the paper of all the traumas that were happening for her in her life. The trauma of having the chemotherapy, the trauma of, you know, the radiation, of being sick with cancer, but all the childhood stuff too. And we cleared a lot of mom wounds, a lot of her mom stuff. And when she left, I counted 13 strings. Now, she had 13 brain tumors. That was a light bulb moment for me. She was my teacher, right? Each one of those strings was a tumor. Now, if I had cleared her of those traumas before she went to UNM and had the tumors zapped, would the tumors have shown up? I don't think so. So what I know is everything really is energy. We're energetic beings. We're physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and we're energetic. And people have meditated and have gotten rid of, you know, illnesses, trauma, all kinds of stuff through meditation, because they're changing the energy and they're changing the vibration. So when we're that low, our vibration is low and we're affected by everything around us. We're too weak not to be. And then when we raise our vibration, and really that's what we want to do on the planet. That's why you're doing your podcast. That's why I'm doing mine, right? We want to raise the vibration on the planet of all the people so that they can be resilient and live the life they want.
Absolutely. Yeah. And what's interesting about that too is if you like, what a big part of my healing journey was getting into a practice of yoga. There's no question about that. And I've shared that publicly here many, many times. I didn't see it or understand it in the time, right? Because it was too present and it was a forest for the trees kind of situation. But I was raising my energetic level, right? Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, energetically. And what I started to really understand was, like, the more that I got deeper into presence, the more I was able to actually navigate the world. And in fact, a really odd thing happened once. I was, one of my great friends, her name's Cole Chance. She has an amazing yoga channel on YouTube. And at the beginning of my healing journey, I was watching her YouTube channel. And this is like 2011, 2012, somewhere in that window. I don't know. And it was on the backside of like getting these yoga DVDs. I lose all this weight doing yoga. It becomes a huge part of my life. I see my community change, my friendships change, my health change. Fast forward, I'm at a random Toastmasters event in Bali, of all places, just doing the Toastmasters thing. Mm-hmm. And I feel the energy of this woman in front of me so palpable, like it was just there. We started talking. I'm like, I know you. I don't know why I know you. I know you. And it dawned on me, we go to lunch a few days later. And I was like, oh my God, I watched your yoga videos for like 2 years, right? And it's like, because of the energy, I connected with her energetically in a place where it's like, why would that even happen? And so the point in me telling you this story is because you attract what you are. And yes. If you look at your life in low energy, I promise you, I know it sounds insane until you really look at it. But if you are in low energy, your friendships are going to be terrible. Your health will be terrible. Your relationship will be terrible. Your money will be terrible. Your sex will be terrible. Everything will not be what it could be. And when you raise that energetic level, you will notice everything around you changes, from your money to your health, your wealth, your relationships, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, energetically, sexually, in every single way, you will be different. And I just, as difficult as it is to convince someone of this, the best proof is like sitting here in a conversation with you and looking at the reality of, well, they did it. And so I'm curious, I want to go into this because we talked about it a little bit. If someone really wants to get into this place of raising their energy, raising their vibration, getting away from the low frequencies, doing this healing work, going down this process, like what does this actually look like?
Okay. Well, there's several things you can do. Like, you did it with yoga, right? You can do it with yoga. You can do it with meditation. Begin to change your mindset. But what I think is, the mindset stuff doesn't work all the way until you clear the traumas in the spaces of the brain. And when you do that, it opens up your brain for more creativity. You're not holding on to those patterns anymore. And I really think it's a journey back to what I call being 100% your soul truth. And when you're that raises your vibration. And then you can attract, be, do anything that you want. And we're all seeing, even if we don't talk about it.
Can you define soul truth?
Yeah, I think 100% soul truth is the essence of who we are. Now, it might be defined by some as your authentic self, but I think it's even bigger than that. It's allowing like your genius, what you came on the planet, like to shine. It's like allowing your gift to shine. So like my teacher said to us one year, she said, if you're not using your gift in the world, you are dishonoring God.
Mm.
And I thought, yeah, we all have a spoke in the wheel, right? Kind of like an old, let's just say an old community where there's a teacher and a blacksmith and a minister and a grocery store and everyone has a piece. It's still like that today. You have a unique gift and you're letting it shine through your podcast and what you're doing and your coaching. You're giving back. Now, it doesn't mean everyone needs to serve and give back that way. You know, maybe they worked for a company and they're helping in that way, you know? I mean, but we all have a gift. And that essence of who we are and that gift, the soul truth gift, not like football player, you know, artists, those are gifts too, but it's really this deeper feeling of knowing who you are and that you can, you know, navigate your life, create your life, do anything you want.
Hey, Unbroken Nation, we'll be right back to the show, but I wanted to let you know that you can grab a copy of my first book, Think Unbroken, Understanding and Overcoming Childhood Trauma, for free.
If you go to book.thinkunbroken.com, you can download the PDF ebook version of the book and get everything that I know about the baseline of healing trauma for free, downloaded to your email right now. Just go to book.thinkunbroken.com to download your copy of Think Unbroken, Understanding and Overcoming Childhood Trauma for a PDF for your phone. Again, that is book.thinkunbroken.com.
I think that that idea of like stepping into that deeper feeling also requires what we talked about earlier, and that's moving through that fear. Because so many people feel there. I know somebody right now is like, man, I've been thinking about making this podcast for 5 years, listening to Michael, 8 years, you know, whatever, right? And they're so terrified because of shame and guilt and judgment and the idea that being vulnerable is the most terrifying thing that they can do. And what I have come to find is that probably more so than anything, the part about finding the deeper meaning and part of your soul is about facing your fear, is about doing the thing that's in front of you that you're terrified of. And it almost frees you. I truly believe this. I used to work in corporate America, Fortune 10 company. I wore khakis to work and a polo t-shirt and sat at a desk with a headset on all day. And I hated my life. I hated it. Mm-hmm. And I was miserable. And I was so scared to go and build the life that I now have. And for me, courage is one of the anchors that has like created my life today. And it wasn't until I faced the fear of literally quitting that job in the face of making over $1 million working there to be like, I'm going to go make $0 and figure out how to do this, right? And I encourage people to walk down that path a little bit more. You talked about clearing, right? And we talk about this idea that in order to really step into this, we've got to get some things out of the way. I told you that I would be a willing participant in a live demonstration with you. And I would like to honor that because I think A, because like, why the hell not? And B, because there's always a new level. And a friend of mine once said, his name is Bishop T.D. Jakes. He's one of the greatest public speakers in the world. And T.D. says something that I think about on a daily basis. New levels, new devils. And so as we progress and as I progress in my life, I know that because of the subconscious program, the nature versus nurture, the generational trauma, there is always another level. And so first, I'd like you to explain what that process looks like, and then let's go through it.
Okay, awesome. Thank you for that, Michael. Yeah, I love doing this. The process is walking down a goal and using NLP questions. So it's like getting like to a nitty-gritty bottom line goal. So I always ask the question, what do you want to have change or be different? And when we get that goal, I just draw a box on the paper and I put that bottom line goal in the box. So let's just say this is you wanting to feel, you know, totally trusting, empowered, letting go of any old fears, right? And then I intuit, I draw the strings from the box, just drawing strings off the box. And I find out who or what is in the way of that bottom line goal. And then it's the power of the words. So then I name the words that are coming up in the field, and I literally have like sheets of words. And I find the negative words. And then I reclaim the positive words. So it's like gets you, let's just say, fear to faith. You know, distrust to trust. Unhappiness to joy. You know, so it's like we're reclaiming that. And when we reclaim that and we say it in a certain way, it actually clears the brain and the soul. So it's clearing those little lesions in the brain that Dr. Hamer found that were connected to different kinds of cancers or illnesses. And so then it opens up the person's brain. I actually think this is the spiritual component that's not being addressed in Alzheimer's or dementia. Okay, the spaces in the brain have to be cleared. And then when they are, because I've done that work, I've seen what happens when someone's at the beginning and how we can, I've had traumatic brain injury people, you know, Joseph, 3 months, no more traumatic brain injury. How does that happen in 3 months? I'm doing BRAIN, I'm doing the whole system and clearing the traumas. He said, my brain's even better now than it was before I started working with you because it does brain soul. You know, same thing for Deanna. Deanna fell on her face, traumatic brain injury. 3 months later, no more brain injury. Brain's working. Business is clipping again. Then she said, I want to quit smoking. So we did that. Then she said, hey, now I want to build my business bigger. And so she went from 30,000, 100,000, now 200,000. So that's, you know, those were her goals. And then she learned these tools so she can use them on herself. So that's what I want to do. I want to walk down a goal, if we could, about what you want to have change or be different. So if I asked you that question, give me like a sentence of where you're kind of at right now.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of areas, right? So I'll create context. So we go in deep. Because I want to look at this like as if we're actually stepping into this, right?
Yeah, we are.
So I am a person that is methodical, maybe even to an insane level of creating the life that I want. And so each year, at the end of the year, I do life strategic planning. And so I know exactly what I want out of 2024. And that looks like a lot of different buckets. But in a sentence, what I would say, and we'll probably have to get into the nuance of it, is that I want to live the life that I'm capable of living. Now, what does that look like? Health, wealth, relationships. To be in alignment in all three, to have abundance in all three, to, I said this year, one of the things I want to do is do my first $20,000 speaking event, find my wife and get a puppy, also be in the best health of my life, get my six pack back and feel sexy naked, right? And so like those are high level things that I look at that we can nuance down into. But it's to me, it's always very important to have clarity. And as I always teach my clients, a ship with no compass will land on any island. And so that's not a sentence, but that is the framework in which I look at my life.
Oh, I love this. I love this so much. Okay. So I live the life I'm capable of living. I have alignment in all areas of my life. So you said physical, relationship.
Health, wealth, and relationship.
Health, wealth, and relationship. Okay. And you gave such a great description because now I'm going to be holding that intention for you. You know, I see the six pack. I see it. I see the puppy dog, right? We got to see it. We got to see the whole thing, right? We see the wife. We see it all, right? So I live the life I'm capable of living. I have alignment in all areas of my life, health, wealth, and relationships. So if you're in alignment now in your life, and you're living the life that you're dreaming of here, what would you be doing then you're not doing now?
Oh, that's so difficult because I feel like I'm doing the thing. I'm so like regimented and like doing the things. I'm like, what would I be doing differently? The type A in me is like, have I checked all the boxes? Right? Business coach, dating coach, health coach. I've done those things. They're in play right now.
Okay.
Game plan, discipline, schedule, assistance, team. Like, what am I missing?
Oh, you're so good. Wow.
Because there's always something, right? What would I be doing differently? I almost want to, as crazy as this would sound, I almost would say I'd be more. My initial thought was be more disciplined, but I think the truth is to actually allow more space.
Okay. Nice.
I think if I were to do something different, I would create a larger space and container of allowing.
Well, that's great. So I allow more space, a container of allowing.
Because if you ask many of my friends, they will all tell you I'm the most disciplined person they know.
That is so awesome. And do you feel like you had that discipline before you went through your trauma or did it come after?
I've always been stubborn. And I think that's been a survival mechanism, right? It also is my golden handcuffs. It's the very thing that has created success and also the very thing that took away. And I always was disciplined about certain things. And then I realized that in order to have the life I wanted, I had to be disciplined about everything.
Okay.
And that only came to answer your question, that came after rock bottom. But even more after that, I mean, it probably didn't really come for another 5 or 6 years until after. I was in my early 30s.
Mm-hmm. You had a gift at a young age. You did. I know it was hard. But look where you are today. Congratulations.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's like, part of me is like, there's luck involved in that. And the other part of me is like, well, as a spiritual being, I probably chose this path.
Well, you know, healer people go through struggle. People who are in deep service like you are and healer people always have a struggle. And see, I wonder, I'm so curious when we dive in today, how much of that is ancestral for all of us? Mm-hmm. It almost feels like the older souls have more stuff to clear. You know, I used to kind of laugh at myself and get a little bit mad and be like, well, how come my brother can't do this work? Why do I have to clear him too? I'm clearing mm-hmm. ancestral work for my whole family line, right? Let's see. So I live the life I'm capable of living. I have alignment in all areas of life, health, wealth, and relationships, and I allow more space, a container of allowing. If all that's happening, what will you tell yourself then you're not telling yourself now?
If you could do this, what else could you do?
Right. And if you're telling yourself, if you could do this, what else could you do? And you're allowing more space, this container allowing, you have this alignment in all those areas of your life. You're really living the life that you're capable of living. How would all that make you feel?
Peaceful.
Nice. And if you're feeling peaceful, who will you be honoring fully?
Oh, myself.
Yeah. Is there another feeling word in addition to peaceful?
Security, but I don't know if security is necessarily a feeling or not.
Okay.
I mean, it feels more of like a need.
Okay. Well, it's a need from your past, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Of course. Absolutely. So,
and it's to note, it's also a basic human need. We all need security.
Absolutely. We need to feel secure and we need to feel supported.
Yes.
Right? So you're honoring yourself. You're living the life you're capable of. You have this alignment in those areas. And there's an allowing that's happening. And you're actually asking yourself and telling yourself, you know, if I could do this, what else could I do? So there's at least three strings. So this first one, so then I just ask, who or what is pulling Michael away from that goal? You know, really living that life that he's capable of living, having that alignment that he wants. Then I say, hey, is this a male, female, or situation? And I am muscle testing. I'm doing this, which is a way of muscle testing. Yes, no. It's just a way of tuning into intuition. And I just check it really fast. So is this a male or female or a situation? It's a female. So is this something recent or something old? It's something old. So is this your mom when you were growing up? Yes. Is this just your mom in general? Yes. Is it a certain age for you? Yes. Is it age 0 through 5, 5 through 10, 10 through 15? 5, 6, probably around 6. So this is something at age 6 with your mom. So then I just ask, hey, is this mom's energy, your energy, or both? Both. Okay, and I'm sure you remember things. Okay, is mom still living now?
No.
No. Okay, well, give me anything popping in when I say age 6.
Yeah, I mean, that's when she married my stepfather.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
So then I just get the words around that time period because this is mom's energy in your field. So You're probably an empath and you take on other people's energy. And that's what makes you good at what you do. So injustice, negative, rigid. So your mom married your stepfather. Did you get along with your stepfather or not?
No, I mean, that dude was the most abusive man you could imagine.
And abused you and mom?
Yeah, our whole family.
Whole family. Okay. So I got helpless, insecure, vulnerability, hopelessness, lack of control, despair, nervous, anger, conflict. Did he have entities? Yes. Are they still in your field? Yes. 1, 2, 3, 4. There's five. I got to find five entities. So when someone is like that, they usually have energy attachments. And even if someone's an alcoholic, they have an energy attachment or any kind of addiction. So we could call it an entity. We can call it, it's not always a demon. Two of them are paranoia and martyr complex and torture. So these are in the field at age 6, probably attached to your stepfather and your mom, controlling, wounded. So like you said, hurt people hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So paranoia, martyr complex, torture, controlling, and wounded. And that rigid, that helpless, that injustice, that's a liar, thief, and a fraud, and you honoring yourself, living that life you want to live. So what did it do? Did it kill, steal, or destroy something it stole? Well, these words came from John 10:10 in the Bible, the kill, steal, or destroy, liar, thief, fraud. And so they actually clear the brain and the soul tie. So it feels like deeper. So it stole your freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Your balance, your harmony, your peace. So we're reclaiming balance, harmony, peace, trust, security, guidance, protection, and safety, and fulfillment. Is there another word I need to say? No. Do I have permission? Are those still playing a song in your energy field? Paranoia, martyr complex, torture, controlling, and wounded. Yes. Do I have permission to release them from you? I absolutely do. Good. Okay. Do I have permission to release them from mom and the stepfather? No. So sometimes doing energy work, you have permission to go in the field and clear you and whoever you're connected to, but I always check. So if these are still playing a song in your field, we have permission to release it for you, but not your mom, even if she's on another side here, or your stepfather. So we're just going to do you. So we're going to say, hey, that paranoia, martyr complex, torture, controlling, wounded energy, if it's still playing a song anywhere in Michael's field, get out now. You're not allowed. You're not allowed in his physical body, mental body, emotional body, spiritual body, in all space, all time, and all dimensions. So get out now in the name of God, in the name of Jesus, your higher power, your divine, whatever that is for you. It must go in the light now. Leave now. Rachma! Awesome. Cool. Did you feel that?
Yeah, it's like a sweeping.
Yeah, you're going to be lighter. Good. Excellent. Hey, tap your belly button 8 times. That brings you to higher consciousness. So just kind of tap just so we clear that out. Good job. Awesome. Okay, what's this next dream? What does it have to do with? So this is allowing more space. We heal in the spaces. That's why I'm in New Mexico. There's blue sky here, lots of space.
Mm.
Okay, different than like New York City, right? Where it's all smashed and cement. So we heal in the spaces of the brain, but we heal in space. That's why people take walks on the beach, right? Walks in the mountains, walks in the woods. How we feel, and we're like right next to nature. Okay, so is this a male, female, or a situation? That's a situation. Is it recent or old? It's an old situation. Is this an old situation with Michael? Yes. Is it in his lifetime? Yes. Is it when he was a child? Yes. Is it 0 through 5? Yes. Is it womb? So this is womb energy. So this is probably your mom's emotions when you were in the womb. So let's find out what those are. Compulsive. Relentless. Can you feel what's going to happen here? You're going to calm down.
Mm-hmm.
Your discipline is going to the beautiful habit of that is going to match. It's going to match a softness and a peacefulness that's going to allow you to do it still, but with a little more grace or a little more allowingness. That's how it feels as I'm doing this. Okay, so devastated, compulsive, relentless. That was your mom's energy in the womb. Duplicitous. Something else on here? No, something else on here. AB12. Helplessness. Do you have any brothers or sisters?
Mm-hmm. I was literally just thinking about them. Yeah, I have an older sister and 3 younger brothers.
And 3 younger brothers. So you're in the middle.
I'm the second.
Second down, yeah. Okay. Let's see. So helpless, is there another word I need to say? Here, 1, 2, 3. Stubborn. Your mom had that in the womb.
Oh, for sure.
Maybe you got that from her.
No doubt. I knew that before you even read those.
Yes. Annoyed. Annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
Is there another word I need to say about mom's energy in the womb? A through M, M through Z. No. Is this a liar thief? So that's a thief on you. And so that energy, again, it's not your soul's truth. It was your mom's energy. And so it's not your soul's truth. So it stole your friendship, flow, flexibility. So we're getting back friendship, flow, flexibility, trust, guidance, serenity, acceptance, ease, tenderness, validation. Yeah. I'm going to say a little clearing statement. This is access consciousness. I destroy and uncreate any judgments, assumptions, projections, conclusions, decisions about the situation and the womb and any of that energy that's still in your field. We release it now. Let it go. Allow you to be free, to be 100%, right? Your truth here, to honor yourself, to live that life you're capable of, have that alignment in all those areas, really allowing that space and being able to tell yourself, wow, if I could do this, what else is possible? Right? Feeling peaceful and secure. Good and bad, right and wrong, pot and pock, online shorts, boys and beyonds. That just kind of clears up any of that energy. Okay? Good. So this next string, is this a male or female or a situation? Female. Someone you know, someone you don't know, someone you don't know. Is this old energy? Yep. Is this like a grandma energy? Yep. How many generations back? More than 5, more than 10, more than 15, more than 20, more than 30. Whoa, 31, 32, 30, 33 generations back. Is this on your mom's side? Your mom's side. Okay. So 33 generations back on mom's side. Do I have permission to get those words? I do. Okay. Here. Possessive. Suffering. Devastated. Unprotected, burdened, powerless, PTSD. All this energy that's that far back is why you suffered too. Unseen, feeling doomed, off balance. Is there another word I need to say? No. Is this a liar, a thief, or a fraud on you? It's a thief. What did it do? Did it kill, steal, or destroy? It killed. What did it kill? Love? Comfort to have, comfort to be given, comfort to live in, serenity, vision of what you thought would be, vitality, relief, triumph, guidance, fulfillment. Good and bad, right and wrong, pot and pock, online shorts, boys and beyonds. Do we need to do something else to clear this 33 generations back for Michael? Is it a reading? Yes, often I read out of a book. Is it one I have to my right? Is it one on the floor? I'm going to grab a book on the floor. Something from the Untethered Soul by Micah Singer. You can see how I read my books, huh? Let's see. So we're going to read something in the middle here, I think. So this should clear that ancestral energy. So is it something in the 70s, 80s? Something in the, give me a page number, something in the 80s. 80, 81, 82, 83, 84. Give me like a page number that's just coming in. Something in the 80s.
Yeah. 88.
88. Okay. Wow. So this is a chapter called Stealing Freedom for Your Soul. Okay. So this, I know, isn't this so perfect? We always turn to the right page. So I'm going to have you like gently tap or rub on your thymus gland, which is the seat of the soul. And this reading is going to clear the 33 generations back on your mom's side. So it says the prerequisite to true freedom is to decide that you don't want to suffer anymore. You must decide that you want to enjoy your life and that there's no reason for stress, inner pain, or fear. Every day we bear a burden that we should not be bearing. We fear that we're not good enough or that we will fail. We experience insecurity, anxiety, and self-consciousness. We fear that people would turn on us, take advantage of us, or stop loving us. All of these things burden us tremendously. As we try to have open and loving relationships, and as we try to succeed and express ourselves, there's an inner weight that we carry. This weight is the fear of experiencing pain, anguish, and sorrow. So every day we're either feeling it, protecting ourselves from feeling it. It's such a core influence that we don't even realize how prevalent it is. When Buddha said that all life is suffering, this is what he was referring to. Did we successfully clear that old energy 33 generations back? Yeah, that's exactly what you talked about earlier, right? Making that decision, you don't have to do that anymore. Cool. Are there any other strings we need to clear on this situation and these goals for Michael today? Yes. Is it something I can do quickly? Yes. Is it a male, female, or situation? It's another situation. Is it recent or old? It's an old situation. Is this also ancestral? Yes. Is this ancestral on your dad's side? Let's do your dad's side real quick here. So this dad's side, how far back? Is it more than 5? It's more than 10, 11, 12. It's about 12 generations back on your dad's side. If I find the words, can we do it? Yep, we can. Of two minds. Now, is this biological dad? Yes. Did you know him?
I only met him once.
Okay. So, see, of two
and
minds.
I generally say I never really met him because, I mean, I was 5.
Okay. So this will be good, right? So we can tap into the energy and at least kind of get some, you know, information here, right? So of two minds, intolerant, CD, one, burdened, anguished, wounded, misunderstood, giving up. He had a tough time. Yeah. Liar, thief. That's a thief on you. Killing, stealing your hope, love, freedom, friendship, joy, comfort to be given, comfort to have, peace, trust, security, protection, fulfillment, prosperity, vindication, grace, and letting go. All right. Do we clear that? Do I need to do a reading? No. I destroy and uncreate any judgments, assumptions, projections, conclusions, decisions about the situation of just the generational string with your dad's side and anything there that's holding you back from your goals or intentions. We release that now. Let it go. Allow you to be free to live the life that you are capable of living and having all this beautiful stuff happen for you, right? In all those areas, good and bad, right and wrong, pot and park, all nine shorts, boys, the ambiance. Awesome. Do we clear all those strings? So we cleared the past, right? We cleared the energy. And then now we want to rewire. But I want to check in with you. How are you feeling? How are you doing?
Yeah, good. I wrote a note as we went. One of the things that I teach constantly, which was an understanding of my own journey, which is, again, I'm going to use the word apropos to this conversation. It's a note that I made to myself, but childhood trauma is the theft of identity. And it's something that we constantly talk about. It's what I teach my clients. It's what I try to help people understand. And so my hope is that people have really just stayed in this because nothing is by coincidence. It was all by design. And when you look at what you and I are talking about, this is not premeditated. We don't really know each other. We didn't sit down and be like, turn to page 88. And yet everything we're talking about supports my thesis and hypothesis of what it is that childhood trauma actually is. And that word thief has come up multiple times.
Yes. And see, that's what I figured out. That's why I love this so much and want to teach it to more people, because this is the journey back to that soul, to that theft. There's always soul theft. There's a lot of processes like this that I teach. This is one that just is sort of a hallmark. We call it a soul tie box because it's getting back your soul's truth. It's getting back your identity. This stuff stole it. Your ancestors stole it. Your mom, your dad. Not that they did it purposely. It's nothing like that. It happens with all of us. even if we had a rosy childhood. But see, it's how the brain takes things in. So you can have two twins in a household and they're going to experience things differently because it's their perception. So if you got beat up on the playground by the third grade bully, you know, someone might have resilience and someone else is going to take that as a big, big, big trauma. No, so it's like sometimes those little T traumas. Mm-hmm. Those little T traumas are also, you know, a wound that have to be cleared.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's one of the things I talk about in the work as well, is sometimes it is just the smallest thing that seems so insignificant or minuscule or tiny, and yet it has shaped exactly who you are.
Exactly. Exactly. And so that's what, and again, getting back to your soul's truth is the journey we're all on. And this is just a faster way, you know? So like what we did is kind of did the releasing piece. Now we want to rewire. Now this piece, I have to say, looks a little different because I'm going to have you say those goals, intentions. I muscle test them and they should bring up stress because they're not integrated yet, we call it. And then I do circles and I draw circles with numbers. And there are specific numbers that work on different, almost like acupuncture points, but they're in the field, energy field. So they're spin points. And so they're called, the work in the 1980s was the Circles of Life work by Dorothy Wood Espio. She filled churches in Houston. She later moved to Arizona. But she filled churches in Houston doing this work. And these circles go, they're working on the rings of the brain too. So they're aligning all these rings in the energy field. So they literally go seven generations back and seven forward. So it's just super powerful and people often feel it. And it looks kind of funny, but it's cool. All right, so we're going to do it. So I'm going to have you say these. So say, I live the life I'm capable of living.
I live the life I'm capable of living.
I have alignment in all areas of my life.
I have alignment in all areas of my life.
Health, wealth, and relationships.
Health, wealth, and relationships.
I allow more space, a container of allowing.
I allow more space, a container of allowing.
Excellent. I tell myself, if I would do this, what else is possible?
If I would do this, what else is possible?
Awesome. I feel peaceful and secure.
I feel peaceful and secure.
And I honor myself.
And I honor myself.
Beautiful. Okay. So we're going to balance the polarity in your body first. So we're going to take the right hand over the left shoulder and the left on the right. Now, these are part of what I call mind gems, which is 12 little exercises that balance the brain. And we hold this for 12 seconds. And then we switch. So if my left arm's on top, I'm going to put my right arm on top. So you're just going to switch arms. Good. Good job. And you can rest your hands. And here's where I'm going to do these circles. So I'm circling down your left leg and I'm saying 2-3 love, 5-3 forgiveness, 6-5 choice, 9-2 freedom, 4-2 greater love. Then I'm coming down your front. 4-2. Michael, I think I'll have you say these. Say, I have positive self-worth.
I have positive self-worth.
Good. 2-2. Say, I choose to succeed.
I choose to succeed.
4-4, I choose to live in joy.
I choose to live in joy.
And 6-2, I choose to live by the higher laws.
I choose to live by the higher laws.
Excellent. And then I'm going to do some extra ones. 1-4-7 on your back side balances the ring that goes this way. It's the depth ring. Then I have you look at an X. 4-5 is the code that balances the brain this way. 9-6 is the consciousness ring. 9-6 is the cranial ring on top of your head. 8-6 on your ear is the hearing ring. 6-8 is the seeing ring. 3-9, 26 complete cycles, 5,859 times is the ring to all the rings. 2 to 8, 23 complete cycles, 2,623 times balances the emotions. 3, 7, 5, 3, 7, 7, 4, 5, 8, 6, 4, 6, 9, 4, 6, 7, releasing trauma. 10, 5, 7, 8, 2, 8, 7, 7, 5, and the shock. 1, 2, 3 on the back side. 4 to 10, 15 complete cycles, 14,333 times releases panic. 4, 6, 9, 4, 6, 7, 4, 4, 4 is the heart. And then 4, 2, 2, 2, 4, 4, 6, 2. 6, 7, 6, 7, 6, 7, 6, 7. Yay. Cool. Hey, did you feel the wind?
Yeah, it feels, and it feels like it's like when you turn on a faucet.
Uh-huh. Do we open something up for you, allowing that faucet to flow? More, yeah, flow.
More, probably more. You know, I've done a tremendous amount of this work over the years, and it just feels like further.
Yes. Good. That's awesome. Do we need to say those again? Yes. So I'm going to have you say these again, and we're going to lock it in. So say, I live the life I'm capable of living.
I live the life I'm capable of living.
Awesome. I have alignment in all areas of life.
I have alignment in all areas of life.
Health, wealth, and relationships.
Health, wealth, and relationships.
Excellent. I allow more space.
I allow more space.
A container of allowing.
A container of allowing.
I tell myself, if I could do this, what else is possible?
If I could do this, what else is possible?
I feel peaceful and secure.
I feel peaceful and secure.
And I honor myself.
I honor myself.
And you're strong in all of us now. So that's beautiful. Good job. We're going to lock it in. So the way we lock it in is put your hands together and put them above your head. And if I was physically with you, I would try to pull them down and you just stay strong. Okay? And then we're going to cone your fingers on your right hand. And we're going to make a circle in front of your heart, like up towards the left. That's correct. And say, 2-2, I choose to succeed.
2-2, I choose to succeed.
And then tap your belly button 8 times. And that locks in those goals or intentions. So we rewired your energy field in your brain with that. So you will achieve that. It's just a function of time because mm-hmm. It's in the field now.
One of the things that I always tell myself is that the only difference between me hitting my goals and not is time.
Yes, absolutely. And you're disciplined, you know, but it's going to be there's a balance between like where the discipline is and where the space is. Because when they come together for you, like that's, I could lead you through another thing, but when they come together for you, that's when you like be able to do this, like move forward with ease and grace.
Yeah. And I think that's a big part of what it is I look at resistance, right? Mm-hmm. And a question my mentor, David Meltzer, always asks me is how am I interfering with my life? And interference mm-hmm. is resistance. It's resistance of capability, possibility, all of the things that are in front of you. And to me, one of the big reasons why I wanted to both have you on and go through this conversation, but to do this exercise is because I want people to understand that resisting what you don't understand or don't know doesn't mean you can't learn from it. And giving them permission.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
To just see what happens. And maybe my hope is this will spark curiosity for people. And I want to invite them to come and learn and attempt to step down this path with you as well. I've done energetic clearings over the years, and even in what I believe it to be in times facetious, I always see something, there's a residue and a residual effect on the backside of it. Mm-hmm. And even though it may seem like you're like, what in the world are you even talking about? I cannot have a more, here's how I would phrase it. It's almost impossible to have this moment and not have consideration for the fact that it was supposed to happen. And my hope and my encouragement to people would be like that they are willing to tap into it, learn from you, clear with you, step into what's next with you, or with whomever it is that they need to step into these practices with, knowing mm-hmm. that ultimately, which I believe it is true, if we spin on this big ball moving in circles around an infinite universe, then maybe, just maybe, this might work. I want to say thank you for that and that beautiful experience. It's something that I'm actually going to go back to this. I'm going to go to my library and grab Michael Singer's book right now because I have it. And I'm going to go read that page again. Before I ask you my last question, and I know that we are out of time here, I want everyone to know where they can connect with you and and how they can get in contact with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And you look lighter. I wish I would have done a before and after picture with you. Mm. Sorry, I just had to say that. It looks really
good. We have it on video.
I'm so excited. I mean, that's right. It's on video. Oh, it's so good. Yeah, it's brainsoulsuccess.com or louisewartzwalter.com. You can connect with me there. I also have my own podcast. It's the Brain Soul Success Show. So you can connect with me there. I'm on Instagram and Facebook. So you can connect there. And I just, and then I would love for you to give everyone here the gift of Mind Gems too, which is, we did, this is balancing polarity, but like, this releases trauma, this clears fear. And there are 12 little exercises that begin to balance those rings around the brain. And people always, all of my clients are doing these morning and night. And it's, we use it as a meditation, and it really does help. It takes 4 minutes to do. So especially if you're not a meditator and you need something that's going to anchor you, like touch points on your body, that's such a great practice.
Yeah, yeah. There's a beautiful healing somatic experience in that as well.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So I love that. So I do those morning and night. I've done them for 20 years. I mean, all of my people are doing that. Kids can do it. Kids are going to get better grades in school when they do those. So it's pretty simple.
And they can go to your website to find that?
They can go to my website at brainsoulsuccess.com and just grab that. It'll be Mind Gems will be there. And just download that and start doing that sheet. Yeah.
And guys, keep in mind, if you go to thinkunbrokenpodcast.com, I know many of you are subscribed to the newsletters and emails. Go to thinkunbrokenpodcast.com. We'll have that and more in the show notes for this episode. My friend, my last question for you. What does it mean to you to be unbroken?
Seeking the truth.
Beautiful, simple, and brilliantly said. Thank you so much for being here, for taking me on this experience, as well as the audience. Everyone, thank you for listening. Please remember, every time you share this, you're helping others transform their tragedies to triumphs, breakdowns to breakthroughs, and helping them become the hero of their own story. And until next time, my friends, be unbroken. I'll see ya. Thank you so much for listening to Think Unbroken. Please share this episode with someone who could use it and help us move forward in our mission of ending generational trauma in our lifetime. And if you would, please take 5 seconds to pop on iTunes or Spotify, hit that 5-star, leave a review, and you can also reach out to us on social at Michael Unbroken or at Think Unbroken. And of course, you can check out our YouTube channel at Think Unbroken. Thank you for being a part of Unbroken Nation, my friends, and until next time, be unbroken.